It's a 9:45 here on 2SER, and we've heard a lot about the tale of the black-throated finch versus Indian miner, with the management of this endangered bird being one of the final hoops Adani Mining must jump through before starting work on their controversial Carmichael coal mine. But there's a new bird on the block now, the Regent Honeyeater, which stands firmly in the way of a coal-fired power plant that has been proposed for the Hunter Economic Zone, a 3,000 roughly hectare site in the Hunter Valley. BirdLife Australia's New South Wales project manager, Mick Roderick, joins us now to speak about the history of the Hunter Economic Zone and the ecological importance of this area. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Mick.
No problem, Sam.
So, Mick, the battle to save this area from industrial development has been going on for about 20 years. Can you tell us what's happened between then and now?
Yeah, so the area was rezoned around 2001, and this all came about when people might know that Newcastle was famous for a long time for its steelworks, and the steelworks was the really big employer, and BHP, when they closed down, everyone said, oh, you know, everyone panicked, what are we going to do? We needed a new big employer, and that was the original ethos behind HES, was that it was going to be the biggest industrial estate in New South Wales. It was going to employ many thousands of people. Now, it was just a series of bad planning decisions. It just wasn't the right place, because this patch of bush, being one of the largest remnants of lowland forest in the Hunter Valley, teeming with threatened species and a number of other issues. You know, most of the place has got underground mines and is Aboriginal culture in the area. So it just wasn't the right place to put this subdivision. And as a result, no one has really invested there anyway. So it's kind of stalled because no one has invested.
It's never quite lived up to the dream that they had.
Even close.
So talking about the Regent Honeyeater, the bird, you know, we're focusing on this morning. So it's a nomadic bird that follows the flowering of eucalypts, and it's only known in breeding areas, the Tamalpan woodlands, considering there's about 30 different species of eucalypts there. What can you tell us about this bird and the areas it kind of breeds in?
Yeah, so the Regent Honeyeater is a critically endangered woodland bird. It, like you say, it follows the flowering of eucalypts that produce a lot of nectar. I liken Regent Honeyeaters to some extent to koalas. They're quite fussy. They won't just eat any old gum tree blossom. They go for the trees that produce really high nectar flows. And out west, they go for things like mugger ironbark and yellow box and white box. Closer to the coast, they go for things like swamp mahogany and spotted gum. Now, these forests in the Hunter Economic Zone are dominated by spotted gum, which flowers in winter. So last year we had a situation where we had the ironbark in these spotted gum and ironbark forests and a mistletoe species flowering. And, yeah, so the Regent Honeyeater is established to breed there. And we, along with the ANU, Australian National University, BirdLife Australia, conducted a series of many hundreds of surveys across the breeding period from about August to December across the entire range of the Regent Honeyeater. We couldn't find them breeding anywhere else. This was literally the only place that the species that we found bred last year. So, you know,
important for the zone to be protected if this species is to survive.
Yeah, well absolutely. I mean, a critically endangered species just can't afford to miss a breeding season. So with the Regent Honeyeater, their core breeding areas are places like the Kapiti Valley, in particular the Kapiti Valley, west of Sydney. And if you have a year like last year where conditions weren't great, there wasn't any blossom in the Kapiti, then, you know, the birds can't just wander around and do nothing. They need those supplementary sites such as the HEZ.
Right.
And looking forward, so just to paint a quick picture for you. So this site is literally 35, 40 kilometres from the coast. It's a patch of dry woodland. The sort of habitats you associate more on the western slopes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's situated in the Hunter Valley, a very dry, broad valley, and these forests are right near the coast. Looking forward, strategically, these forests, are going to become more and more important because they're going to be less susceptible to drought and the impacts of climate change being so close to the coast. So, you know, as we move into the future, I think that, Regent Honeyeaters may come to rely on this site even more.
And with the Hunter Economic Zone, it's kind of like changed hands in who's managing and who owns it. But who are the traditional owners of the land and what's their involvement in what's going on there?
Yeah, so there's a couple of, I guess, between three, or really two big landholders. There's the developer who owns a sort of big patch in the middle, The other landholder out there is Mindarriba Local Aboriginal Land Council, and Mindarriba have been fantastic. We gratefully acknowledge their assistance with the work we're doing. They've granted us access to their land to do bird surveys, and that's really helped us get a really good hold of how amazing this these woodlands are.
Right.
Yeah. So that, they've essentially been a bit of a partner along the way, and we've been thinking of ways of where to go from here. Mindarriba would like to see some outcomes for their people, which is fantastic, and we're working closely with them on this. It's just difficult when we've got the developer sort of sitting in the middle who, who's got these grand plans for, it's currently zoned for a pretty much straight up industrial subdivision. But when you read about things like new coal-fired power stations in the media, and, to read about that anywhere is bad enough, but to think that it's right smack bang in the middle of this remarkably important site, not just for Regent Honeyeaters, but also for swift parrots and about 35, 40 other threatened species. It is quite literally a biodiversity hotspot.
Absolutely.
It's an amazing place. It really is. Yeah.
And Mick, how might people contribute to the recovery work that BirdLife Australia is doing for the Regent Honeyeater and potentially these other species as well?
Yeah, I guess throwing support behind, just sort of helping us lobby the government, just to tell them that no development in this area is appropriate. I mean, a coal-fired power station is at the ludicrous end of of potential land uses for this area. But just helping BirdLife, point out to the politicians that if you want to do industrial subdividing, it's probably best off elsewhere, and coal-fired power stations are probably best off nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So BirdLife actually have a we have a petition online at the moment where we're basically calling on the government to protect the site and recognise that coal-fired power stations aside, there really shouldn't be any major development in this site anyway.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Mick.
No worries.
I hope your work goes well.
Great. Thank you.